Welcome to the Catch Up. Plenty on today. We had a chat to Luke Bradnam, who is in Townsville at the moment, of course, ahead of Cyclone Debbie.
Yep. Also, Gordy Tallis, a bit of Legends and Lemons work as well, Robin.
Yeah, and we also understood that walking to school barefoot was not just a weird Mardo thing.
It's a thing for a lot of people.
Yes, it was. That was quite remarkable. And then when phones attack, plenty of good stuff on the Catch Up. Get involved. And if you like this, you might enjoy another podcast I do on Triple M called Team Effort. This week it's myself, Lawrence Mooney, Ash Williams, Tony Martin, and a guest appearance by Lee Sales, host of the 7:30 Report.
Wow. And what do you do?
We talk about the Dutch rudder. Not with Lee, that's other things, but most of the other guys, it's a bit of Dutch rudder work. Enjoy. Wow.
Do you know what the Dutch rudder is?
I have no idea.
Listen to the podcast.
Is.
It's a sailing term.
Okay, sure thanks. It is, man. Don't Google that.
Mardo, Ed and Robin, the dreamiest breakfast crew on Brizzy Radio. Almost as dreamy as the 600-plus vehicles at Salters Cars. Salters.com.au. Putting dreams in driveways.
Your daughter, Hilly, she's down in Sydney now.
Yeah.
How old is she? She's 19?
No, she's 18. 18. First year university.
Share house.
Well, I'm paying for the share house, but that's not what I want to talk about. I spoke to her. She rang yesterday. Having a chat. I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, it's hot down in Sydney. I said, well, it's bloody hot up here in Brisbane too. She said, yeah, well, we're like you now. I said, what do you mean you're like me? Our house is right at this stage is getting a pool.
What are they, share house?
Nah, they were blowing one up. For the first time, what share house hasn't had an inflatable pool?
Or a shell.
Oh, the shell full of water.
Yeah, the shell
never
full
gets
of water.
Emptied,
yeah, that's
then,
exactly right. And
then
you get
some
mozzies.
Fat bloke just puts his boot through it. How long is the inflatable pool? We had ours in the lounge room at one stage.
Yeah,
I had to tell her that. I said, don't get any ideas, but we used to watch TV in ours. And then it got the leak and then there was trouble. Then when they rented, then the landlord found out and everything.
Love it.
She's really going places. When your share house has got the inflatable pool in it.
It is, you know, I always talk about some of the furniture that we had. Because, you know, in one of the share houses I lived in, I shared an attic with a bloke. And he and
did
I...
Did you? There's a story there.
Actually, that full sentence is, I used to share an attic with Baz Luhrmann's personal assistant.
Oh, right? Jesus. Is that who he went on to become?
Yeah, that was his job after uni, right?
Oh, God.
And
gets curiouser and curiouser.
Leverage in that.
Well, but also he was the bloke that once came home wearing a pair of pants. And I said, I've seen those pants before. And he said, yeah, one of the guys from INXS is my parents' neighbour. And he was having a garage sale. And so he'd gone and bought full outfit that guy wore in the INXS Kick film clip.
The really tight ones.
Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
He was an interesting kid. Either way.
But did he go out wearing those pants or just come home wearing them?
Anyway,
what happened in your loft with this random guy?
in the attic, right? Because both of the beds were on milk crates. There was a double bed that was on milk crates and there was a single bed that was on milk crates.
Beds on milk crates. I can understand shelving and TVs and sometimes sitting on them, but you had beds on milk crates.
Both beds had milk
crates.
Yeah, exactly. And the game was if one of us had procured a friend and they were staying up in the loft, that you had to go and sleep somewhere else in the house.
Yeah.
And we were having there were five of us in the house and people were sharing rooms and people were getting very lucky, Robin. It was just a purple
patch. In what way?
Oh, just everyone. It was just a, I don't want to tell you this, Mardo, but people in share houses do tend to get fairly lucky.
Mm, I know.
And we had to do this thing where we all had a house meeting and we made a decision that we got rid of the couch in the living room and we put a double bed in the living room called a bouch. So that if your roommate got lucky, you would sleep on the living room on the bouch.
Oh wow!
What about if there was two in one night, like two lucky people?
Well, then someone's got to sleep. Then someone's got to sleep on the roof. All right. It's a good old days, mate. It's a good old days.
Well, that doesn't happen now, thankfully. Are you that sort
of
lucky?
You haven't been told. Right. That's not what's happening.
If she rings you up and says, "Hey, Dad, I need a bunch of milk crates," go,
no, definitely not.
Over the weekend, I've been seeing reports of the Bravery Awards that have been getting handed out. Go Queensland is exactly right. Just some incredible stories from Queenslanders of bravery. And the one that I think has really taken, got a lot of people's notice is the story of Rachel Moore and her children who Well, here's some of the report from the news of what happened.
Saved our mum, I guess. My stepdad, he shot her, and me and my brother Cameron apprehended him. And then Kaylee took mum outside, carried her out, and hid her next to the house.
Incredible, sad domestic violence situation that Rachel Moore's kids have saved her from their kid's stepdad, who has showed up with a gun and shot her, Robin.
I know, and we have Rachel on the line. Rachel, you must be immensely proud of your kids.
I am, yes, super proud, very proud of them.
Do you remember that whole scenario, that whole day?
Yeah.
So, Rachel, tell us, that day, can you tell us how it panned out? Where were you and what happened?
I was actually just arriving at home with all the children, and I'd taken them into the room to get them ready for bed and dinner and showers. And he came in the driveway, and at first he came in and just looked at us, and then he walked back out and got a gun, came back in and just shot me.
Your oldest child, Jaden, where was he when that happened?
He was sitting on the bed on the left side of the room. I'd pushed all the five children into a bunk bed and pushed them back, like little mice in the corner.
So you got them out of the way and then you had to confront him?
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen, Rachel? If you told your kids to hide or to move, you must have been frightened.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die. I was just ready to.
I heard one of your young blokes on the news last night say that he grabbed the gun and took it outside and hid it. How did the gun, what happened? Did he put it down, the bloke?
No, he was getting ready to... He was putting new bullets into the gun to shoot me again. Apparently, I'd passed out after I'd been shot.
Oh, jeez.
And Cameron jumped up and punched him in the stomach and ripped the gun out of his arms and took off outside with it.
Oh.
Cameron's with you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's here.
Can we have a chat to him?
Sure, here he is.
Hello.
Hey, Cameron, you're an amazing, amazing young man. What do you remember of that day?
I took the gun out of his hands, and after that, I came back into the room, and he was on top of mum, strangling her, etc. That's when I ran up and hit him across the head, and he fell back, and Jaden put him in a chokehold. At this point in time, Zane was already carrying his little sister Samantha, hiding her under another bed, and Kaylee was helping mum get outside.
Oh, God. So there's five of you all running around helping in different ways.
Yeah.
Cam, were you scared?
Yeah, of course. I guess I just wasn't really thinking about that at the time. I think it more really kicked in when I was waiting for the ambulance and the police to arrive. That's when I really started worrying.
What a big moment. Now, you grabbed that gun and you ran outside, and I heard you say last night on the news that you hid it. Where did you decide to put that? What's going through your brain? You would have only been 12 or 13, yeah?
Yeah, I tried to put it somewhere where he wouldn't be able to reach it. Like, I crawled under the veranda and then threw it way back.
And then decided to go back into the kitchen where your brother was having
room,
a crack.
Yeah, in our room.
And what happened to the guy who shot your mum?
He is in prison now. I went in to see his court trial happen. He's 12 years in prison.
Awesome.
Great. That is probably the best news story. All right, mate, it's quite incredible. You guys have done an amazing thing to save your mum there, and you've been presented the star of courage, and you've absolutely earned that and a bravery medal for all of you kids, mate. Well done. I mean, that's just an amazing thing to do for your mum and your family. Great work, mate.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You guys all deserve any award that you receive. And, mate, I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future. The strength of your character that you guys have showed, I think you're going to destined for very special things, your family. Well done.
Thank you very much. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tell Us. Gordon, who was your legend from the weekend?
Oh, the legend has to be... I think Cameron Smith, I think. There was a moment yesterday they were getting outplayed by the West Tigers. West Tigers had everything. They had the crowd. It was a packed, he kicks a 40-20 that changes the game. They'd only completed four sets in the whole first half. And Cameron Smith, and that made him the most winningest, is that the word? The most winningest NRL player ever.
Of course. He overtook Darren Lockyer.
Yes. So... Yeah. That was a pretty good moment. Against the Tigers that were under the pump and Yorno Mata, that when the players take the coaches out of, because they've been blaming coaches, they've only blamed four of them, the West Tigers, in recent years. So
but you normally win after you sack your coach.
Well, it just proves that the underlying fact is the players. And then yesterday they put in an amazing effort. And they're my lemon, by the way. So they're absolutely outstanding. But the effort they put in, they could only do it for 40 minutes, which tells me that recently that they haven't put in that effort because they can't play that. They can't play at that intensity for 80 minutes. So they can put 40 minutes, but if they keep on playing like that, it'll, you know, move into 50 minutes, 60 minutes, 70 minutes, and then they might get like the Broncos, Cowboys and Melbourne Storm where they play for 80 minutes.
Are you saying that they're just not fit enough? Like they haven't...
Oh, well, it's an attitude thing, you know, and then, Robin, as a rugby league player, like the coach gives you a game plan and you work on your skills and, you know, mum and dad gave you, you know, like your speed and your strength and all that and your height. But you got to bring an attitude, and I think that the West Tigers don't bring the right attitude every week. But then they've, you know, and then the excuse is, you know, they're a real tight-knit group and it's never the playing group. They always get rid of the coach, and I think it's about time now. And I was sort of happy that they didn't win because every time they do it, you know, they get rid of a coach, they sort of go on a winning streak, and then everybody thinks that it's not the players. So hopefully they're under the microscope now.
Geez, that's interesting. I reckon they could have won that game. There was a moment before halftime, I don't want to go too deep, but when Billy Slater bounced off a decoy runner and a try was disallowed to the Tigers. Did you see that one?
Yes.
If they score that try, they almost win that game.
When Nofaluma goes through the winger and he scores under the post, and it's just a slight body check on Billy Slater. And I know, and Billy sort of milked it, but that's the real motto, and we all know that. That you can't, you know, bump into the defensive line and take someone out.
All right, yeah, well, they can get stuffed. They've got nothing to do with Origin. The simple fact is there was a bloke they were calling the new Gordon Tallis, Cohen Hess. That's all anyone wanted to talk about over the weekend.
No. He's Ivan Drago. He's the closest thing to Ivan Drago that I've ever seen. No, mate, what a player. I think he scored 9 tries in 13 games. He actually got the Cowboys home. I think he scored a double against the Titans on Saturday night, and what a player he is. He's big. He plays on the edge.
What does Kevy think of him, more importantly? Is he in your Origin?
Do you know what? I think he took his shirt off after the second try, and he called the second half with the shirt off. Kevy, that's how excited he was, mate, to have, you know, to have Matt Scott, you know, not playing and, you know, to be down on forwards and 8 miles. Well, you know, he's getting a bit long in the tooth to have these young guys step up. I think it's pleasing for Queensland, and especially the Queensland coach.
Gordy Tallis, we will hear you on the M's. We will see you on Fox Sports throughout the week. Good on you, buddy.
Pleasure, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Now, Ed Cavalier, as a bit of a FIFA aficionado, you will completely understand when I explain that on Saturday morning, my boys were downstairs all competing with each other and other people online in a very heated and hot game of FIFA.
Imagine.
And don't ask me who the teams were. I was too busy getting cross with them because they hadn't done their jobs in the morning. So I'd come downstairs and I was saying, guys, boys, I need to talk to you. Boys.
How do you get their attention?
Well, this was the thing. So I should have just turned off the game, at which point I would have been hated because Lou and my 15-year-old was up. I think it was 2-0.
Okay. Ed, what happens if I don't understand, if Robin did that, what would happen?
He loses that. That's a victory that's lost.
Oh, my God.
It's like when the Albanian fans throw flares on the field. Sometimes the game gets abandoned.
Yep.
And before you ring in, it happened over the weekend against Italy. Yeah, that wasn't profiling. Okay.
So anyway,
so you've done that once before, haven't you?
I have done that once before. And afterwards, the fallout just wasn't worth it. I'd yelled and screamed and carried on. And then I threw my arms up as some sort of lunatic mother does in an effort to distract them. And all I did was throw my phone and it landed on my toe. But it landed point down. Oof. And seriously, one of the most painful things to happen to your feet ever.
What? A phone falling on your foot.
Yeah, but the way it fell. Anyway, I squealed and they instantly stopped FIFA. See, there's the there's the rub.
A squealing ice.
Yeah, because they were worried that their mum had really hurt herself.
With the phone.
Yeah, with the phone. So I'm hopping around the lounge room like a complete lunatic. So the boys are feeling bad because they weren't talking to me in the instance. Then they started to tell me about stories how mobile phones can be very dangerous. And apparently for teenage boys, when they're lying in bed because they can't be bothered doing anything else.
Oh, can be dangerous.
And they're looking at their phones and their phones are above their heads and then something will happen. And in fact, one of them said that he'd had a black eye in the past because he clocked himself with the head.
Is that when they fall asleep while they're using the phone or it just gets a bit slower to get slippery?
Stop it. Lou is saying to me, oh, Mum, if it hits you on the cheekbone.
What broken cheek, mate? Oh, get out.
So I just wondered.
There is not possible that anyone has been. I can't see how this could happen. But
clocked by a mobile phone. When has your mobile phone attacked?
Yeah, mobile phone based injuries. Let's get into it. When have you or someone you know suffered a mobile phone based injury?
It's all right when they used to weigh a kilogram in the old days with those big boxes. That fell on you. Jesus, you're out of action for a while.
Mike from Rochdale, who's been injured by a phone?
It's my daughter. She dropped her 6+ on her foot and was off work for a day with soft tissue damage to her foot. Almost broke a bone.
Now, when she told her workplace that she was off because of her sore foot, because of her phone, what did they say?
Well, she actually got a day off from the doctor. She went to the doctors and they had a look at it and they said it was soft tissue damage and they gave her a day off.
Was she hobbling around on crutches?
No, not crutches, but she was hobbling around very sore. With a very sore foot, we thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
It's hilarious. You're right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Hello, Robert of Redbank Plains.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Now, tell us about this phone injury.
Well, I, like most blokes, using the phone for its best purpose, playing Candy Crush. And I drop a lot of my iPhones, and they're too expensive to keep replacing, so I put a really heavy cover on them. Yes. And laying on my back, I've emphatically swiped to do something, and it's dropped, and it's hit me right on the bone above my eyebrow. Split it open, and 4 stitches resulting.
Well, you've been opened up. Righto, we've got
it's opened up.
4 stitches from the phone.
Candy Crush Saga injury. I knew it. I knew it. It's a menace. It's a menace, that game. All right. Thank you, Robert. I know those cases too. I've had one of those. You asked at the phone shop for the indestructible case.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're incredible, Robin. They can't break, but if they are, it's
the
like a little...
You get hit by the life-proof case.
Mike Tyson or an iPhone 6, same intensity.
Samantha of Bray Park, tell us what happened with the phone.
We were on holidays and I just said to my husband, oh, can you just throw my phone over the balcony? And he thought he'd wrap it in a towel and the towel went one way and the phone clocked me in the mouth.
Oh, my God. Injury?
I broke one tooth and the other one fell out.
Can you put a cost? This could be the most expensive injury caused by a phone. Is that $500?
Oh, no, it was more than that.
Oh, God.
It cost me... almost $1,500.
And did you save the tooth?
Yeah, I saved the tooth. And the other one was capped, so...
See, I know that a lot of phones come with... I know that some phones come with Bluetooth, but they really should come with mouth guards. Thank you.
You'll walk up and get your phone next time, Samantha.
Hey, Samantha, Marta, Ed and Robin.
Now, one of my all-time favourite holidays that I have ever done with my 3 sons has been up to the Whitsundays, going out of Early Beach on a catamaran, self-sailing catamaran.
Oh, did you go to the Whitsunday Ready Yacht? No, which one did you go?
We went
out of Shute Harbour.
Yeah, Shute Harbour, and the boat was called Portland Road, and we went with another family, and we just cruised around the Whitsunday.
Oh,
it was the most relaxing, fantastic, bonding experience with my kids because no phones. But as Cyclone Debbie is bearing down...
Wouldn't be much fun this week.
...on the north coast of Queensland, I did think of the owner of that boat. His name is John Litton. He's a Brizzy boy, but I'm guessing, John, you are up in Airlie Beach. What is happening with your boats?
Well, you'd think it was the America's Cup up here. You could have an absolute field day and sail these boats normally very cruisy around the islands, but right now I think we could win the America's Cup hands down. But what's happening has been, in particular for Queensland, we're very, very good at it. We're used to these type of events every 1 to 3 to possibly 5 years, so... We're literally now battening down the hatches, ripping sails off, taking off all of our lines, making sure that these vessels, which normally could quite easily just disappear right over the land, we're trying to keep them battened down, basically, guys.
That's tough.
And it's going to be a big one.
Well, mate, the eye of the cyclone is going to go north of you, but it looks like on the bomb you're starting to get those winds at the moment. Are you up to 80k an hour winds or something like that?
Yeah, we're sitting at about 25, 28 knots. There is some big bursts coming through. But guys, what's really going to be happening is as we go into sunset this evening and go through the night, it's what's going to be happening then, followed by the storm surges. So the storm surges at their worst could completely over swamp the marina. And if that's the case, worst case scenario, that's bad for all of us.
Okay, hold on, John. So if that comes through all your boats, it'll be that concertina that'll all get pushed up to the back end of the wall.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so we've seen some of the footage before from previous cyclones where that's what we've got to help. The best thing about Able Point Marina is it's already in lockdown mode. Every preparation that we have to do has been done. So if you think about the little tenders that, Robin, your trip, you'll remember to visit every island. Once you get there, you hop in a little tender and you go over to visit the islands. They're completely flooded with water and down at water level because they just propel right through the air. The efforts to be done here are extraordinary. Normally, three mooring lines to hold your boat, you know, gently to the wharf for 364 days of the year when this place really is paradise. Right now, we've got 12 mooring lines. Normally, three fenders, you know, to fend you off the wharf. We've probably got 10 fenders per boat. It's all about doing things in the best possible preparation.
Well, John Linton in Airlie Beach, owner of Catamaran Boat Charter that Robin, you've been on, which you said it was wonderful. Best of luck. We hope that it ends up not being anywhere near as serious as they're predicting. Thanks, John.
Good on you, Ed. And guys, just so you know, I'm a little bit concerned that they've called it Debbie. I think they may have called it Cyclone Donald. It would have been more appropriate.
Get political.
Okay, you're going to love this. This is such a, you know, kind of a first-term issue. Usually when it comes to my sons, who are now 17, nearly 15 and 12, and they're in grades 12, 10 and 7, I usually go through, on average, maybe 3 pairs of shoes a year.
But you sat here before term started, like mid to late January, you sat here while they made their choices for their shoes.
Absolutely. And I have learned in previous years that it doesn't matter if you spend $400 or $10, they last for exactly the same time. So I've said to the kids, like, seriously, people, if we're going to go through 3 pairs per child per year, I'm going to go the Kmart special much more than going off to, you know, some...
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right, okay, so we are in the final week of term one, and guess what? 3 pairs of shoes have already carked it.
Have they all blown them out?
All 3, and I just said, I looked at him, I said, you've got 5 days, here's the gaffer. Like, I am
That's how my son
lie.
Finished grade 12 last year. If you blow a pair of school shoes, you're never going to buy another pair of school shoes. He blew them with about 4 weeks to go in grade 12 and just strapped them up. Just tape them up and off you go.
I can't. Because the thing is, too, that they're still growing so much that if I buy now, even with the potential of another 3 weeks, I'm better off just waiting till a couple of days before term two.
There's never going to be any hand-me-downs either, is there, from the older blokes?
Oh, my goodness, no. In fact, my youngest guy got caught last week because he had holes in his shorts because he was wearing his brother's shorts. That can't happen either. Like, they don't last. Lord. Yeah, well, they play handball and they do a lot of...
Shirts. Do you do much sewing? I realise... Because they're always wrestling. Yeah. Boys are always wrestling, doing the buttons on their school shirts too.
Oh, mate, I'm teaching the boys to do their own buttons because they come off so much.
So often. Oh, mate.
Anyway, so term one, it's a new record.
What about wearing work boots, like getting a pair of steel cap? They, you know, the bottom of them, because you can pick some of them up for 80 or 90 bucks.
Ed, could you imagine kicking a soccer ball with steel cap boots?
Yeah, that's true.
But with the work boots though, Marto, isn't the whole point that they last... Aren't work boots meant to last a year or more?
Mate, some of them don't. I had an email here. Remember we were giving some away at one stage?
And remember why? Because I was at Fundy's in Paddington and two blokes walked in with their work boots and I was just shocked to see men who've actually got a job in an organic cafe and then they looked down and... as they stood blinkingly staring at the delicious food that I was eating and then... they both had gaffer tape around their work boots.
Still fixing Rex work boots really poorly. This bloke said, I've had mine for 6 weeks at one stage and they've gone. Can you recommend the best pair of boots?
Like, what does it do? What are you talking about? What's steel fixing?
Oh, yeah, before you throw concrete into...
Oh, okay.
Steel inside concrete.
Pool.
Oh, for a pool or for any concrete slab, there's steel inside it. But anyway...
So what do you want to talk about when you've blown out your shoes or blown out your stuff?
Anything. How quickly you go through things now. Stuff doesn't last like it used to last.
No, it
you
doesn't.
You just go through stuff so
it
quickly.
It really doesn't.
Or yourself. How
or
quickly
yourself.
Have you worn through your work boots? Or maybe it's your phone. Maybe you're one of these people who gets a new phone and then 3 weeks later, Screen's busted, doesn't charge.
Look at that thing. Look at mine. It's got paint all over it. Like, eventually you can't see anything.
We've tried everything. And the other thing is, at the moment, in what's kind of semi-trendy is they can't be too pointed, but they can't be too rounded. So you then got to try and find the shoes.
Lace-ups?
Yeah. See, I'd go the R.M. William boot, although that's an expensive thing to do, but they last forever.
I've still got
my pair of R.M.s from when I was 21. They've been resold.
Enough, that means.
No.
Yeah, they've been resold.
Yeah, they have, but they still survive.
But they cost $300 to start.
A pair of boots cost $300 to start,
then to resell them costs $50 each time.
Yeah, but that...
It's cheaper just to get the crap ones like you're doing now.
I know, Kmart, man. Yeah. They you know...
How much do you reckon you spend in a year on shoes? You could be spending...
I reckon anywhere between 20 to 70 bucks per child. So let's say 50. So, I don't know, 3 times 50 every term.
But no, the whole thing. I want boots, shoes. The whole year you'd be on $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've seen my wife spend that in 6 minutes.
That's an old joke.
I'll take that back. That's an old joke. Gary's from Warner. Gary, get me out of this. Gary, what's happening with your kids' shoes, mate? You still buying the good ones?
No, mate, no. Look, our kids are grown and gone now, but when they were younger and first started, naturally with growing feet, we used to put them in the good shoes for school. Mm. But then, mate, it just got to the stage where a good pair of shoes was lasting them like two-thirds of the year. So we did the sums. It was better to buy the cheaper ones, buy three pair for the year, and they'd probably last into the next year rather than buy good shoes.
There you go.
Gary, I don't know how old you are, but I can remember going to school and not wearing shoes. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm 59.
Yeah.
And I can remember going to school in bare shoes.
Because
we couldn't afford them.
I had a pair, I'd take them off, and we'd wear bare feet all day. Why can't kids wear thongs?
Are you kidding?
But now, myself.
Did anyone else go to school in bare feet every day?
I find the best shoes now, work boots, and you can put kids in them, are the Ascent shoes.
The
work boots.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank Gary. Thank you so much. But we've now moved on. We have to play this game.
In Brisbane, you didn't wear shoes.
I went to Chermside State School. You know where that is? No, because they knocked it down. Corner of Roddy Road and Gympie Road. And every day I'd walk from West Chermside, Maundrell Terrace, and I'd walk with my school shoes. I'd start and go, these are really weighing me down. Put them in the bag and I'd put them on again before we caught the bus home. Used to walk to school bare feet. If you didn't grow up in Brisbane, you might go, oh, too cold. No, it was the perfect temperature to go to school in bare feet, walking both ways. Okay. Why can't our kids now harden up, walk to school in bare feet like we used to?
Okay, we'll get to those
people.
Have
a look at these. They're still with me. Look, 2 feet.
Yep.
All good.
Okay.
It was just the way it used to be.
Well, I've already received a text from my friend Andrew who said, Marto is speaking the truth. Mm. Bare feet was the norm at Howard State School when I was in year one in 1993.
That's pretty recent. Okay, here comes Joseph from Wellington Point. Hey. Joseph, barefoot to school, buddy?
This was in 2006, growing up in New Zealand. primary school, they used to have carpets on the floors in the classroom, so you weren't allowed to wear shoes inside.
Hang on, it was a rule. No shoes.
So
take your jindles off.
Leave their shoes on the shoe racks, and then they'd forget them after school, so they, like, parents wouldn't let them take them to school anymore.
Ah.
And then,
so you just never wore shoes?
Yeah, just never. And then come to winter time, cross-country training in the frost, barefoot.
I can remember the bindies used to be hell. Bindies. And there wasn't as much broken glass around in the old days as there is now. So it wasn't
the same. Wow, that's a rule in a school in New Zealand. No one's allowed to wear shoes. That's fantastic.
Shoes inside in New Zealand.
It's horrific, isn't it?
That is horrific. But let's not go. Well, let's not talk. We're trying to, I mean, third world countries, we understand. Let's go.
they'll get you for that.
Yeah. Hey, hello. We've got Warren from Alex Hills.
Morning, troops.
Hello.
Where were you, mate?
Herne Hill and Bowen State Schools.
Yeah. Shoes?
None whatsoever. Apart from, and that was the norm in the school. I mean, there may have been, some of the girls might have worn shoes, but none of the boys would ever wear shoes. And at Bowen, we used to have this particularly feral game of soccer that involved anywhere between 30 and 60 people. And I found out my good black shoes for going out were particularly good for kicking soccer balls.
Oh, wow.
And mum's dragged them out one day, and of course they're totally destroyed. So that was it. I'd done my only good pair of shoes.
Yep. And you don't deserve any, your mother would have said. You don't deserve good things.
Yeah.
I think it was something along those lines.
Ed, you've been kind of quite, because you went to school in quick. Did you wear shoes?
Yeah, I wore shoes. I did. As soon as I got home, I would take them off. But I had to wear them to school. I thought it was a rule that you had to.
So did I. I went to school in Sydney. So.
High school, yes, I had to wear shoes. But primary school, there's no rules.
Amazing. There you go, Marto. You've done your victory here. Well done.
See, kids should just wear thongs. That's what most of them are going to wear when they get older.
Crocs.
Crocs?
Oh, Crocs.
Oh, don't swear at me.
The fourth test is very tightly poised. A wonderful spell of bowling last night. Marto and Robin has put Australia back in the test match. I think India are 40-something runs behind with 4 wickets in hand in the first innings. And you can see the coverage of the test today, 2:30. It starts on Fox Sports.
Would you say it's evenly poised?
It doesn't matter what I would say because I'm an idiot. But we have one of the all-time greats who can tell us what he thinks. Good morning, AB. Alan Border.
Good morning, everyone.
Would you say it's evenly poised, AB?
Yeah, I would. It's very evenly poised. After a couple of days, can't separate the sides at the moment. So going into day 3, very exciting.
Okay, AB, I saw Nathan Lyon bowling last night and he just sort of found something, didn't he? All of a sudden he took 4 for 20 and he was doing one thing I love. He was bowling with the sunglasses on, AB. Isn't that refreshing?
Yes. Look, he found his form late in the day, wasn't it? Like, up until that point, it really hadn't turned much and nothing much was happening for Nathan. So I don't know why it all of a sudden just started to turn and bounce and cause the problems that he caused. But good on him for doing it because we were sort of staring down the barrel. But India were just grinding away to a reasonable first innings score. So
okay,
kept us in the contest.
Can I just ask, so where are we at? What's happening?
2 days. We got, what'd we get? 300.
300.
Oh. I'm just catching up. I've been, I kind of half had it on the telly while the kids were watching, but just where is it right now?
No, it's evenly poised.
It's a 5-day test match. As my daughter would say, who's winning?
Okay,
but there is no one winning at the moment. Let's get to the important thing here. AB, did you ever meet the Dalai Lama like the Australian cricket team that did the day before the test match?
No, but I need him to give me a blessing about my golf swing.
Oh, the important thing.
We need to rub noses. So,
he plays off two. The Dalai Lama. He's incredible. The robes give him a great range of motion. Hey, but he did say when Steve Smith met the Dalai Lama,
I worry about this.
AB, he admitted that he was having trouble sleeping. Did you ever have trouble sleeping as the Australian captain?
You have the odd night, restless night. But
Merv would get in late.
And you'd always worry about Merv giving you the big splash, which was not something that you look forward to, trust me. He used to pinch keys from reception and go and terrorise people late at night. So,
did he really?
Not a pleasant sight.
Hey, AB, how come they're playing at that stadium, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen for a sports field to be situated? Right, you can see the Himalayas in the background. I've never seen them play a test match there before. What's going on?
No, it's they've had 3 venues that have played their first test match, so I'm not sure why the experimentation with Australia there, but it's certainly a beautiful part of the world. Dharamsala. So that's a good question, mate. I'm not sure. They're experimenting. They've got 26 different test venues there now.
Jesus.
Would there be altitude issues?
I guess so.
It is high up, yes. A bit like Johannesburg, Marta, for the rugby. The ball flies a bit further and that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't affect, the altitude, not like altitude training type thing. It's but it is a bit thinner. It's quite high up.
Hey, before we let you go, Alan Border, you can see more. The test coverage starts 2:30 today on Fox Sports. Hey, Brad Hodge, do you want to play this, Marty? You want to play a little?
This is Brad Hodge yesterday. I'm sure you're aware of it. Hello.
Look, it's happened before. Not just Virat, but there's many players that have come up to IPL time. And look, we know it's a cash rich tournament. There's some money up for grabs, and he gets paid a hell of a lot of money. He gets paid a hell of a lot of money anyway, so it doesn't matter. But there are certain players who will limp in, to IPL time to make sure that they get there. there and perform well, because it is it's an important tournament for everyone around the world.
Virat Kohli, captain of the Indian cricket team, hurt his shoulder in the previous test, pulled out of this test. Brad Hodge virtually making a claim that he's done it to protect his $2.5 million that he's going to get played to pay IPL. How much trouble will Brad Hodge be in India?
Look, I don't think it'll be Gujarat Lions coach for much longer if he keeps making those sort of accusations. Look, he's right. I mean, an IPL is a very cash-rich tournament, and $2.5 million for Virat Kohli to turn up and play. But look, he's not going to. He makes something like $20-30 million a year, Mata.
Who, Virat Kohli?
Oh yeah. These guys in India, it's just ridiculous the money that they make, mainly through endorsements and things. But cricket crazy country of 1.3 billion, it just converts to big money for a lot of those Indian stars. So I suppose, you know, a couple of million on top of that sort of helps a little bit, doesn't it? But it's not the be all and end all.
At least changed by the couch.
You almost sound happy for him, AB. Okay, this afternoon, Fox Sports. Give us a prediction, AB. How do you think this one's going to end up?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. Look, I like the fact that the game's close now. We've got 3 days left, so I'm thinking Australia in a pretty good position. We just need these last four wickets quickly, and then runs on the board will count, you know, going into later stages. So, yeah, feel good about this one, but that has gone astray many, many times in the past.
Yeah, that's right. It's cricket.
Thanks, AB. See you soon.
See ya.
Cheers, guys.
Right. So anyone watched the Grand Prix last night, yesterday afternoon?
I watched for about a lap and a half because Storm Tigers were on, and then I realised that, what's our boy? Ricardo wasn't in. I went, oh, what a waste of time.
He's had a shocker this weekend.
Oh, he had a bad weekend.
It's just not his weekend.
Yeah. It hasn't been his weekend, and it was summed up quite well. He's sitting there, his car had just, Robin, it just died. It was like, Yeah, it was like all the money in the world in these cars, and he was driving along, and it just went. Nah.
Did it just stop?
Yeah, it just stopped. It just stopped.
And this is he crash in the qualifying? So he was like in the tenth position or something.
He talked it up all week going this year because the cars are a lot quicker into the corners. They can brake later and all the rest of it. He said, "Oh, I've done so much work building up his neck muscles for the extra G forces, you know, and all the rest of it. Looking for a big weekend." He's so embarrassed, the poor bloke, in front of all his fans.
This was the quote. Well, this is the, you know how they have the audio from the in-car radio.
Yeah.
This was him as he was sitting there and just not moving. His car spun past him. This is what he had to say.
Let's
do that.
He had enough. I flicked over just after the start of the race and I thought, oh, here we go. Here comes Dan Ricciardo. And I saw the cars, you know, Hamilton and Vettel flying around the track. And I'm like, okay. And then they cut to Dan Ricciardo, who was still in the pits, who was sitting in the pits.
It was two laps down.
Didn't he even start the race?
No. And I thought, Mark Webber used to miss the start, but this bloke's taken it to the next level. This guy's really outdone the great man himself.